Okay, so yesterday, okay, before we start, let us pay homage to the Buddha first. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Samanta cakkhavalesu attra gacchantu devata. Sadhammang muniraja sa sunantu sagamokkhadang. Dhamma savana kalo ayang badanda. Dhamma savana kalo ayang badanda. Dhamma savana kalo ayang badanda. Okay, yesterday we have talked about different types of five door cognitive process and the mind door cognitive process. Each five door, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, door cognitive process has 17 mind moments. And each cognitive process, each five door cognitive process only see blur, not very clear about the object. In order to see clearly, we must have three or five mind door cognitive process so that the object will become clear to our mind. When the object become clear to our mind, then we start develop we start to develop like and dislike towards the object. The object can be sound, visible objects, smell, taste, and so on. So once you start to develop like, then craving, greed will follow after the liking. And if you start to develop dislike towards the object, then the aversion will follow after the dislike. So at this time, many wholesome and unwholesome karma are performed and strengthened at the jhavana stage. I have made this clear yesterday already, okay? So today we will continue. What are the wholesome and unwholesome karma possible performed at the jhavana stage or in our daily life? Okay. Let us see the unwholesome one first. The unwholesome karma performed in sense sphere jhavana. Sense sphere, not jhana, okay? Jhana, there's no unwholesome one. Only sense sphere, because we have strong like and dislike, therefore, we are performing the karma all the times. Okay, so what are the unwholesome karma possibly perform in sense sphere jhavana? It can be divided into three group. One is the karma performed through body. Under the karma performed through the body, there are three. One is killing. This we all understand. Taking what is not given or stealing. Then the sexual misconduct. If you have any sexual intercourse out of your lawful spouse, that's considered sexual misconduct. So when killing, taking what's not given, and sexual misconduct are performed, all these are under what type of consciousness? It can be performed under consciousness rooted in greed. For example, you take what's not given, it's rooted in greed, right? How many consciousness rooted in greed? Eight, huh? And killing is consciousness rooted hatred, but it can be also because of the greed. For example, you want to eat chicken, greed. You want to eat chicken, then you slaughter the chicken. So while slaughtering the time is a consciousness based rooted in aversion or anger, but it can be, how to say, can be initiated by the greed as well. But performing killing at that time is consciousness rooted in anger. And when any consciousness either rooted in greed and anger, it also must accompany it with delusion. For example, you kill something, you kill some beings because you are ignorant that killing will cause short life in one's own life. You are ignorant. You are ignorant of that fact. Therefore, the delusion is also accompanied with the consciousness rooted in greed as well as rooted in hatred. Okay? Although the predominant factor is greed, but avijja, ignorance, is underlying cause. Okay? Okay, next one, speech. We also perform many unwholesome speech. For example, telling lies, slandering, harsh speech, and frivolous talk. So which one is under, for example, this one is telling lies, slandering, harsh speech, and frivolous talk are all under 12 types of unwholesome consciousness. And only you yourself know, when you tell lies, it's based on greed, hatred, or what. Only you yourself know your own mind. Okay? Next, mind. Mind is called manokarma. The karma performed at the mental state. This is called covetousness. For example, you have one ganjil. And one day, you see one masdi. So you say, how nice if this masdi belong to me. Then this is called covetousness. You long for other people's property. This is called covetousness. Although you do not do anything, but you already perform manokarma, mental karma. So be contented with the little thing you have. Don't long for other people's property. Okay? The next one, ill will. Ill will. You have the ill will towards everyone in the world, towards certain people. The moment the ill will arises in you, then at that time is consciousness rooted in anger. And there are two. One is accompanied by what? One is prompted, one is unprompted. Okay? The last one is wrong view. Wrong view can be classified. There are so many types of wrong view. Here we talk about the law of karma. If anybody does not believe the law of karma, then he has the wrong view. Or anybody believe in eternal soul. He believes that there's an eternal soul transmigrate from one plane of existence to another plane of existence. This is also wrong view. This type of wrong view is very common, even during Buddha's time. I think yesterday a brother mentioned the Bhikkhu Sati also have this type of wrong view. He say it's the same consciousness, same person, same I. It's the same consciousness transmigrate from one plane of existence to another plane. And other monks try to convince him. Say, no, Buddha never say like that. He said, no, yes, Buddha say like that. The same consciousness transmigrate from one plane to another plane. Then finally, the monks cannot convince him. Then they reported to the Buddha. Buddha say, ask him to come. Then the monk come, Sati, Bhikkhu Sati come. Buddha ask you, did you say like that? Then he say, yes. Then the Buddha say, What a fool you are. You see, Buddha is also not soft one. And they say, no, you are wrong. No, he never said like that. He said, what a fool you are. Directly point to your heart. If you bear the grudge towards the Buddha, you suffer even more. Right? So when the teacher scold you, if you bear a grudge towards your teacher, you suffer even more. Right? People's teacher tell you off out of good intention for you, but you cannot comprehend because your ego is hurt. Right? When your ego is hurt, you cannot think properly already, or the mind become very deluded, and you bear a grudge towards the teacher, then you will suffer. You will suffer for a long, long time to come. Okay? So Buddha also directly tell you, you are what a fool you are. Foolish man, when I tell you like that. Okay? So these are the wrong view, So what is the same consciousness? Buddha asked him, what is the same consciousness you refer to? Then Bhikkhu Sati say, it's the one who speak, who think, who hear. What is the one? It's the I, right? I. So we always consider, identify consciousness as I. This is called wrong view. Even Buddha's time, people have this type of view, not to say us, after 2600 away from Buddha's time. Okay, so these are the 10 unwholesome karma that one can perform it during Javana stage. And how long you perform this unwholesome karma during Javana stage? For example, you tell lies. How long you tell lies? Or you, for example, you have sexual misconduct. How long you have this sexual misconduct? One snap of fingers, million of consciousness arise and passing away. So if you spend 10 minutes for sexual misconduct, uncountable Javana consciousness arise and pass away. So much unwholesome karma has been performed. Where the karma store? You say we perform so much karma. Tell me, where is the karma store? Karma does not store anyway, but karma just follow the mind and body. Follow mind and body, but it does not store in any way. Just follow the mind and body, whatever life you go. Whether in especially when you are born in a four apaya, four woeful state and a human world. Then this bad karma has more opportunity to ripen. If you reborn in Deva realm, Brahma realm, then this bad karma has less chances to ripen. Because when you reborn in Deva realm or Brahma realm, you have a lot of kusala. Your army is very strong. Your wholesome army is very strong. So all the unwholesome karma comparatively become very weak. When it's weak, it has no chance to ripen. Only when the bad karma are very strong, your wholesome karma are very weak, then the chances for them to ripen are great. Okay. Therefore, it's important to cultivate more kusala karma so that our unwholesome karma will not have time, have chance to ripen. Okay. Now we come to the meritorious deed. Wholesome karma performed in sense sphere Javana. There are 10 here. Number one is giving dana. Number two, sila, virtue. Number three, meditation, bhavana. These three, we also practice it during our Abhidhamma camp. Number four, reverence, appachayana. Reverence to those, or respect to those who are worthy of respect. For example, the elder, the parents, the teachers, and so on, the sangha. Okay? Number five, service, vaya vacha. So today I rejoice in all your service. Today all of you have contributed your effort and time, and I very much rejoice in it. So I gain one merit also, because I rejoice in your service. And you also should rejoice in your own service. This is a good opportunity. As we say, we should cultivate more and more unwholesome karma, so that our So sorry, we should cultivate more and more wholesome karma so that our unwholesome karma will not have chance to ripen. Okay, so the more you cultivate the good, the more that is better for you. Okay, number six, transference of merit that we do at night. Every night we do, or while doing dana also, we also transfer merit. Number seven, rejoicing in others' merit. So while you are offering your service, you also rejoice in others' service. So you gain one free extra merit. Okay. Number eight, hearing the Dhamma. You have it. Number nine, teaching the Dhamma. When you come and present your talk, present your discussion, it's also the way of sharing the Dhamma or teaching the Dhamma. Okay. Number ten, straightening out one's view. Make your view straight, not crooked, or not with wrong view. So, see this 10, I believe you have 10 in this retreat. You cultivate all these 10 in this retreat. And all this will occur during the Jhavana stage. So the more you cultivate, the more time you spend for the wholesome deed, the more merit you gain. Because it depends on the Jhavana, right? The longer you spend your time for listening the Dhamma, for meditation, for your service, for giving, for virtues, for teaching the Dhamma, for hearing the Dhamma, the more merit you gain. Because the Jhavana will go very long, again and again, again and again. One mind door connective process followed by another mind door connective process until you finish your wholesomeness. Then that wholesome Jhavana will stop, replaced by whatever happened in your mind. They will decide which Jhavana will come up again. Therefore, it's very important to do whatever good deed you perform with happy mind and believe in the law of karma. This is called associated with knowledge. In the eight wholesome consciousness, one consciousness accompanied with joy, associated with knowledge. And which one is better? Unprompted or prompted? Unprompted. Unprompted. Then your wholesomeness is called perfect. Perfect one. Not prompted. And you do it with joy and happiness and with the understanding. Whatever good you do, you bear a good result. This is called associated with knowledge. Okay? So all this 10 and 10 wholesome karma and 10 unwholesome karma are all performed in the 7 Jhavana. In the 7 Jhavana there. Let's say you do one today service. One consciousness accompanied by joy, associated with knowledge, unprompted. This consciousness. So today if you do you perform your service with this type of consciousness, and this consciousness will run 7 times. One consciousness runs 7 times, first Jhavana, second, third, four, five, six, seven. All the 7 will be the same consciousness, the first one. Okay? But when you are doing, doing 20 minutes, you say you become impatient. Become impatient, then you say, what is the use doing these things? Sweeping the leaf, what's the use? Then, at that time, your consciousness change. Another mind-dog connective process. One consciousness accompanied by equanimity, maybe aversion. I don't know. Depend on your mental state. It can be aversion. If it's aversion, then one consciousness accompanied by displeasure and unprompted. And this consciousness will run for 7 times. Not only 7 times. Depend on how long you get angry. If you get angry for 5 minutes, run for 5 minutes. After you know, oh, today I just learned Abhidhamma. I should not have anger while doing good things. So you change your mind again. Then the mind change again. Jhavana change again. One consciousness accompanied by joy, associated with knowledge, unprompted. So your mind change very fast one. As long as you are not aware of your mind, you do not know how fast it changes. Okay? By understanding Abhidhamma, you can investigate yourself more. And don't let the unwholesome mind enter into your mind while you are doing wholesome things. Okay? Okay, now, each jhavana can bear its own result. Although one consciousness goes through seven jhavanas, but each jhavana has different potentiality to bear its result. Okay, this is an important one. Many people, after listening to this talk, become very afraid of evil. So listen carefully, which is very helpful for you. Okay, let's say first jhavana. First jhavana generates immediately effective karma, which can only produce its effect in this very life. Example, Malika, the queen Malika. She is the daughter of a garland maker. I mean from poor country. One day, she brings some food, wanting to participate in one ceremony. On her way, she met Buddha. But she didn't know he was Buddha. Out of faith, one consciousness accompanied by joy, associated with knowledge, unprompted. So when she saw a monk coming for Pindapat, spontaneously, and with happiness, and with the understanding associated with knowledge, she offered all her food, the food is for herself, to go and participate in the ceremony. But she offered all the food with strong happiness to the Buddha. At that time, she did not know the monk is Buddha. And because of this great merit done with happiness, with knowledge, with an unprompted one, and also the recipient is the greatest being in the world. Therefore, her dana bear fruits on the same day. On the same day after that, because she's still very happy, you know, when you're happy, you smile, right? When you smile, you become beautiful, right? So at that time, the king passed by. The king saw a smiling girl, so happily smiling there, and the king fall in love with her. If the time she did not do dana, maybe she's not happy and, you know, she may not look so beautiful. So the king fall in love with her and ask her whether you married or not married, then today you become my wife. So the king immediately brought her back to the palace and appointed her to be a queen. So at the same day, she become Queen Malika. Simply because she offered the food with first type of consciousness, the best one. One consciousness accompanied with joy, associated with knowledge, unprompted. Unprompted is very important. Unprompted. You don't wait for people ask you to go and offer, only you go and offer. Right? Simply, sometimes, service also. Don't have to wait until I ask you mop, you only mop. You know anything, anywhere, 30, you just mop. This is called unprompted. Okay, and this her result to become the queen is because of first jhavana. First jhavana generates immediately effective karma, which can only produce its effect in this very life. Therefore, this karma produced its effect in this very life, and she became the queen. Not only this life, on the same day. Okay, now. We see the seven jhavana first, the last one, before we go to the middle one. Seven jhavana generates subsequently effective karma, which can produce its result in the immediate future life. In Pa'au, there was a professor. When she came to Pa'au Meditation Center, then she practiced Samatha Vipassana, and when she reached dependent origination, she can see her past life. So in her past life, she was a village woman. One day in the Suddhagong Pagoda, she brought some lamps to offer to Suddhagong Pagoda. And at that time, there was a CD lecturer, a lecturer who teach in the Rangoon University, also came and stand beside her to offer the lamp to the Buddha as well. So when this village woman saw her, then she inspired to become like her. She want to become a city lady with high education. So she pray, offering the lamp and pray, and may this meritorious deed conducive for me, in the next life to become an educated woman and in a city, born in a city. So, because she offered the lamb with the first consciousness, one consciousness accompanied by joy, associated with knowledge, unprompted. This is the best among the eight consciousness. So she did it with this first type of consciousness and with a lot of joy, then she made a wish. And her wish come true. In the next life, when this life, she become the professor in Rangoon University. So when she see her past life, she saw why, what is the reason, what's the cause that now she become a PhD, a professor in Rangoon University. So Buddha say, don't belittle even a small wholesomeness. Small wholesomeness, offering the lamb to the pagoda, to us is very minor thing, right? We can offer even greater things than this. But if you offer with conceit, that's different already. You have to offer with a lot of devotion, knowledge, happiness, and unprompted. Then your merit comes in abundantly. Okay, so when she listened her past life, she saw the cause and effect, and this is the effect of the seven javana. The seven javana can produce its result in the immediate future life. Okay, now let us go to the number second to number six javana. This is the most important one. Everybody should know. Okay, second through sixth javana generate indefinitely effective karma. Indefinitely effective karma, which can produce its effect at any time along samsara until one reaches parinibbana. This means that if you do one unwholesome things, this unwholesome thing follow you along the samsara up to you become arahan. Even you become arahan, this unwholesome karma also will ripen. Only until you pass away into parinibbana, next life, no more mind and body, so the effect, no place to attach to, right? No mind and body to attach to, then all the unwholesome effect, unwholesome karma we have performed along the round of rebirth will all extinguish. So long you do not become arahant, so long you do not enter, not only you, including me, so long we do not enter into parinibbana, all our unwholesome karma performed along the round of samsara, which we forget already, will also bear fruit whenever the conditions are favorable. But don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Whatever good karma we have performed along the samsara, which we also have forgotten, also waiting to take its effect when the favorable conditions are there. So karma is very fair to everyone. Whether we are the beggars, king, monk, and so on, karmas are fair. Whatever bad we did, we suffer from it. Whatever good we did, we enjoy from our good karma. Okay? But there's one thing you should remember, which I think I should share with you. Let's say, one karma we perform, one bad karma we perform, each of us, all of us, perform the same bad karma. Do you think each of us bear the same result? Why no? Huh? Why? Let's say you steal an apple from the fruit store. I also steal an apple. It's the same karma, right? Then do you think the result will be different? Or it's the same? Okay, tell me how different. Why different? Okay, some more answer. Prompted and unprompted. Depend on the individual, right? Have some more? Parami. Paramita. Okay. This is very important point, you should remember. Okay, Buddha say in the Sutta, Buddha say one karma, same karma, we all of us perform. But we all reaped different result. Why? It's very much depend on the virtues of the individual. Let's say one beggar, I think I share with you in my last retreat already. One beggar steal an apple in a fruit store, and this beggar, what's the result? What do you think? he will be hit by others, right? You dare to steal my apple, so they will take the stick and hit him, so he may have broken head. One apple get a broken head result, it's not worth it, Okay. Second day, one minister come to the fruit store and take an apple and bite. What do you think the result? You want more? I give you another 9. I will give you 10. Wow, you like my apple? Okay, very good. I will offer you more. This one better one. I give you a better one. You see, same action, different result. Why is it so? Because of the virtues of a person. Similarly, Buddha, these virtues mean if a person endowed with sila, samadhi, panya, if a person endowed with morality, concentration and wisdom, one small unwholesome action he performed, he cannot feel the result. Not result. He cannot feel it because he has such a strong, mighty army. Right? This is a small army. Go away already. Cannot feel it. But one beggar who has no strong morality, concentration and wisdom, one small act of unwholesomeness, then he bear great unwholesome result. Therefore, cultivate more your morality, concentration, wisdom, your generosity as well. A rich person, millionaire, go to the fruit store and take an apple. Do you think people will beat him? People will not beat him because he's so generous, right? Generous person, and a person without generous, do the same action, bear different result. This is a very important point. So perfect your morality, your concentration, your wisdom, and all the wholesomeness. The 10 types of wholesomeness I mentioned, try to do as much as you can. Okay, so that your army is strong. Okay, let us come back to the second to the sixth. Second through sixth jhavana generate infinitely effective karma, which can produce its effect at any time along samsara until one reaches parinibbana. I will give you an example of Mahamangalana. Mahamangalana is foremost in psychic power. We all know. Left hand disciple, Mahamangalana. Right hand disciple, Venerable Sariputta, who is foremost in wisdom. Okay. These two are very famous disciples during Buddha's time. When these two persons pass away to Parinibbana, one day Buddha said to the assembly of the bhikkhus, thousands of bhikkhus, from what Buddha say, you will know how important these two disciples to Buddha and to the sasana. Buddha say, this assembly appear to me empty. When the two great disciple, not great disciple, top disciple, Aggasavaka, when these two pass away to Parinibbana, Buddha talk to the assembly of bhikkhu, say, this assembly appear empty to me. Venerable Sariputta helped so much in turning the wheel of the Dhamma. Because of his help, the Dhamma spread very wide. And because of Mongalana, he always performs psychic power. He can open the sky and tell you, then let the human being see the deities. Why they reborn there, enjoy sensual pleasures? Because of wholesome. They do a lot of dana, sila, bhavana, and so on. And he opened the earth and let people see the hell beings. Why they suffer there? Because they do all the unwholesome. And when people see with their own eyes, and people get afraid. Now we do not see with our own eyes. That's why we're not so afraid of evil. Unless we really see with our own eyes, every step you step out, you also be mindful not to have any unwholesome thought happen in your mind. But now, because we cannot see, we don't have this type of psychic power. If I have now, I will open the earth and let you see. But I don't have. So we only believe out of faith to the Buddha, right? Out of faith to the Buddha, we believe what Buddha said, because Buddha never tell lies. Even his disciple not tell lies. How can the teacher tell lies, right? So during Buddha's time, many people have faith to the Buddha because also of Mahamangalana. So this great top disciple are so helpful to the teaching of the Buddha. So when the two pass away, Buddha feel empty. The assembly appear to him empty. Okay, so Mahamangalana is foremost in psychic power. One day, he was sitting in his kuti, meditating. And because Buddha at that time, Buddha's dispensation are so popular, there are so many sectarian, other sect. They're jealous of Buddha. They're jealous of Buddha's teaching. Especially, they think that Mahamangalana always show the heaven, show the hell, and always defeated their teaching. So they want to take revenge towards Mahamangalana. So one day, they send a lot of robbers to come to Mahamangalana's kuti. At that time, Mahamangalana, because he got psychic power, he saw, using his psychic divine eyes, he saw a group of robbers coming to his kuti, want to beat him. So he used his psychic power, fly out from the roof. So the group of robbers come in, no one. They left. Second time, they come again, Mangalana know again. Using his psychic power, he flew away again. Third time, the group of robbers come, and this time, Mahamangalana also want to use his psychic power to escape from the keyhole. But when he want to enter into fourth jhana, if you want to perform psychic power, you must have fourth jhana. So when he want to enter into fourth jhana, suddenly he said that cannot enter into fourth jhana. He felt that he lost all his jhana. He cannot enter into fourth jhana anymore. If he cannot enter into fourth jhana, how to perform psychic power? There's no way. So at that time, all the robbers knock down the door and enter into his kuti and beat him until his bone as tiny as grains. You can see a group of robbers fighting with. I don't think Mangalana will fight with them, right? Arahan will sacrifice his life and will not fight with people. So Mangalana was sitting there, let them beat until his bones as tiny as grains. And at that time, the robber thought Mangalana must dead already. How can not die? No. So all the robber went away. And when the robbers went away, Mangalana resumed his psychic power. He's not dead. He resumed his psychic power and using his psychic power, collect all his bone again and make his body back back to the Mangalana again, back to the natural shape and form again. And using his psychic power, he flew to the sky and come in front of the Buddha. Ask the Buddha to allow him to enter into Parinibbana. So, you see, Mahamangalana, foremost in psychic power. Why he lost psychic power when the robber came to kill him? Because of his bad karma done in the past. In the past, one time, in one of his lifetime, he was a farmer, and he has parents who are blind. So he take care of his parent, and his parents said, "You are too tired, take care of me. Why not you married with a wife, so your wife can take care of me." So initially, Mangalana, in his past life, he didn't want. But after some time, then he agreed, then he took a wife. But after some time, this wife feel tired to take care of the blind person, and he persuaded Mahamangalana to kill his parent. So Mahamangalana, of course, first time, he said, "How possible? How can I kill my parent? Not possible. But if your wife, every night, how to call? Nagging your ear, 1,000 times, I think, this become prompted already, unprompted one also will become prompted. So don't think that you can make your own decision. Sometimes you lost your own awareness, you lost your own hiri otapa, you lost your own conscience because of nagging, The woman sleep next to you, nagging 1,000 times, I don't think your mind will not move. I think your mind should change one. So finally, he said, "Okay, I agree." So he carried his two blind parents to the forest, and they stopped halfway. And this Mahamangalana tell the parent, "You all wait here, I have something to do. Then he went away, and he came back with a stick, a strong stick, and pretend his voice, change his voice, say, robber coming, he shouted. He changed his voice and shouted, "Robber coming." Then this Mangalana approached his parent and beat his parent. And his parent, even though they are beaten to death, and the parents shouted, "Oh, my dear son, don't come near to my place because the robber are here." Even the parents are beaten to death, they still remember the son, ask the son, "Don't come near." And they don't know the son is beating them. Okay, the son is beating them to death. So when the parents shouted in this way, then Mangalana suddenly, all the conscience come back to him. Then he stopped beating the parents. There are two verses, one Dhammapada, one Jataka. One verse, one story say that he beat his parent until they die. Another verse say that he beat his parent until serious injury, then he stopped. Anyway, this is very heavy karma already. And because of this heavy karma, after his death, he was reborn in hell. In hell, suffer agony, suffer strongly for many 1,000 years. And after he suffered enough for his bad karma, he was reborn in human being, and for 200 successfully, his head was beaten until broken every lifetime, for 200 lifetime continuously. So this karma is performed under the second to sixth jhavana. This type of karma will never cease one. Although you become arahant. You see, Mangalana already arahant. And also psychic power number one. Still cannot escape from the result of our bad karma done previously. Is it frightening or not? Frightening or not? Why no sound? Speechless because cannot speak. Therefore, Buddha say, avoid evil, do good, purify your mind. This is the teaching of the Buddha. Simple. Avoid evil, do good. It's out of your good. Not Buddha because Buddha want to, you know, want to tell you again and again. It's out of your good. Buddha asks you to avoid evil. Otherwise, when the bad result ripen, we suffer endlessly. So, out of compassion for us, Buddha say, summarize his teaching, avoid evil, do good as much as you can, as many as you can, then purify your mind by way of concentration and vipassana. By way of samatha and vipassana, purify your mind. Without samatha and vipassana, you cannot purify your mind. And then this is the teaching of the Buddha, as simple as this. Okay. So, even until become arahana, our bad karma also will ripen. If it's very heavy karma, also will continue to ripen. Only until parinibbana, when there's no more mind and body, no karma, no bad result will ripen anymore. And also not good result will ripen. Okay. Last one, this last story, Chakupala. Chakupala was a monk. He practiced very hard every day and night. And one day, when he became arahant, then he also lost his eyesight. When he lost his eyesight, then without seeing anything, when he do his walking meditation, then he step many ants, many insects die because he cannot see. Then other monks who do not know Chakupala has become arahant. So they reported to Buddha, say that Chakupala kill insects. He stabbed many insects and caused death of the insects. Buddha say, no. Chakupala has become arahant. He has no intention at all. He did not see because he become blind. He cannot see. And the monk are very surprised. He said that, how come after become arahant, only he become blind? And the Buddha related his past life story to him. He said that because one of his lifetime, he was eye physician. And at that time, there was a slave, a woman and her daughter. Her daughter is blind. So this woman, mother, brought her daughter to come and see this eye physician. And the mother said, because they are very poor, they don't have money to pay for the eye physician. And the mother said that, if you can cure my daughter's eye, then since we don't have money to pay you, we will become your slave. We work for you, okay, as a payment for your treatment. And the eye physician, okay. Then using his skill, and he cure her daughter's eyes. And when the daughter's eyes are cured, this daughter suddenly become afraid, wanting to become his slave. Therefore, she lies. She lies. When the physician asks her, how is your eyes? Now can you see? Then she say, no, I still cannot see. I still cannot see. In fact, she can see already. But she doesn't want to become the slave. Doesn't want to keep her promise. She said, I still cannot see. And this eye physician, having such strong confidence in his skill, he knows this lady tell lies. Really cannot see? Yes, I cannot see. Okay, I will give you some more medicine. Let me try once more. So, second time, this eye physician put some ointment in her eyes and make her blind. Since you cannot see, right? You say you cannot see? Okay, because he's not happy with her telling lies to him. So he put some ointment and make her blind again. Then he said, sorry, I cannot cure you. I don't have the skill to kill you. Because of this bad karma. Huh? Because of this bad karma, many lifetime he become blind. Even though he became arahant in his last birth, after become arahant, he also suddenly become blind. This is a resultant karma done by second jhana to sixth jhana. So in this case, who is the one to be blamed? Why the eye physician should be blamed? His duty is to cure patient, but with payment. Nowadays, only few doctor give treatment without payment, right? You cannot go and see doctor. I don't pay you. Do you want to treat me? No, I don't think people will go to doctor and ask such question. So why should the eye physician should be blamed? You come with blind, you go back with blind. Fair. So that's why I'm asking you why the eye physician should be blamed. I want to see whether you see the point or not. But the girl come with the blind, ma. Okay, the only thing the eye physician should be blamed because he does not gut his anger, right? He was angry because the lady tell lies to him. The lady tell lies to him is the lady's problem, is her karma. And we get angry, then become our karma. If we can stop at the mental level, it's good. If we cannot stop mental level, he cannot stop at the mental level. That's why he put some medicine and make her blind again. So he is to be blamed because of his own anger. He's fair to the lady, you know, but he bear his own unwholesome karma because of that, of his own anger. Okay? Okay, so now you understand how each jhana bear its karmic potency. Okay, we should stop here. Then you have time to reflect more. Okay, thank you.